Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues today, we're going to be talking about our hope is in God, not in government. Our hope is in God, not in government. Multitudes believe that somehow, some way, we're to bow to government, and we ought to simply say, regardless of what the Word of God instructs us, that we're simply going to obey what the government says. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a very, very real sense that that is taking place today. However, we do have some relief, as I see it, and I'm praying that it will be greater and deeper than just 10 states. But I'm looking at an article that says, federal judge blocks Biden's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in 10 states. The Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers has just been temporarily blocked for hospitals that receive federal funding within 10 states. A federal judge issued a temporary injunction Monday, citing multiple reasons. U.S. District Judge Matthew Schlepp said the mandate would result in staffing shortages without evidence that it would actually prevent the spread of the virus. Further, the article states, the scales falls clearly in favor of healthcare facilities operating with some unvaccinated employees, staff and trainees, students, volunteers, and contractors, rather than the swift, immediate help required for healthcare facilities to choose between two undesirable choices, providing substandard care or providing the health care for all, the judge wrote. The states listed in order include Alaska, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. All of those 10 states, the government has been stopped. The Biden administration has been given a cease and desist order from a federal judge to continue to mandate that healthcare workers receive a vaccination. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm praying that that will spread across the United States and that judge after judge will simply say, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional. It's irrational. Because if you go through with that, as the judge rendered his decision, healthcare facilities would be operating with understaffed people, with non-trained employees or staff members that would not be able to render proper healthcare solutions for all those that it's supposed to provide it for. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little ray of hope. We'll be talking about that and other things during the course of this broadcast today that I pray that you'll tune in. And call in. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you call in, have dialogue and discussion with you about the issues that we're faced with, not only in America, but around the world today. I believe that every Christian, every child of God, every conservative, every patriot should be praying and seeking God's face, asking God to give us wisdom and strength and insight as we face the torrential downpour of totalitarianism on a global basis. And we're watching that, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the fulfillment of Scripture, as we've talked about before, and we'll touch on once again today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authoritative, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. It is the source book for truth in our lives. It is the direction that each of us should look for in walking and carrying out the witness each and every day for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to direct our footsteps. It ought to illumine our pathway. It should be that which we carry out our lives based on the Word of God. I'm surprised at the number of Christians that say they're saved, number of individuals that say they're saved, never open the Word of God, never read the Scripture, never allow the Word of God to illumine their hearts and direct their footsteps in anything that is done in their lives. The Bible God has given us as His revelation of God to man, and it does us no good to place it on a coffee table and let it collect dust. It does no good if it just simply used as a showpiece when the pastor comes to visit in your home. And yet there are a lot of folks that look at it on that basis. May I simply remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we need to depend on God and not on government. So often folks look at government as being the source for income, the source for health care, the source and the resolution for whatever is needed in one's life, and that is simply not the case. It is God. It is God that's promised to meet every need. It's God that's promised to take care of us. It's God that we need to look to as the source for our life and living, and the inspiration and the challenge, the encouragement, the hope and the strength and the wisdom to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, so often truth is not sought today. In fact, it goes back to the writer of the dystopian novel 1984. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that 1947-48, when he was writing the book 1984, he made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Now, you can find that to be true in the halls of Congress. You find that to be true today with Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, and I could go on and on with the loose likes lost liberals on the communist in the Communist Party, in the House of Representatives, and in the Senate today. This is the reason I say that it is needful for us to depend on truth. It is the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a formidable statement that I believe is one that we all need to hear and understand. Jim DeMint, that headline said, DeMint warns America's decline linked to the death of truth. He states in the article, truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, DeMint wrote, end quote. He cited times when he and his wife had visited the church on Easter Sunday and heard a stunner from the preacher. The preacher said, after describing the miraculous and incredible resurrection of Jesus, the pastor concluded, it didn't matter if it was actually true or if we only believe it to be true, end quote. DeMint goes on to say, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is real and true. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, therein lies the major, major quagmire that we all look for and all see today in the society in which we're living in. It is where everybody has their own truth, everybody has their own relevant facts, and it's not going back to the fundamental foundation of the truth book, the Bible. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made the statement, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day very, very soon that we will find Christians, believers, as we stand for truth, will be placing our lives on the line. In fact, we're very close to that kind of culture, that kind of society today, as we see what's taking place in the Beltway in Washington, as we watch the mandates for the jab to be taken, as we watch the Bill of Rights being eviscerated, as we see the Biden administration and the Communist Network News, the media in general, that is the ones that hold up his hands in the decisions that's being made. I believe there's coming a time when we will face the enemy, Satan himself, through the eyes and hearts and minds of people, if we stand for truth. So I believe it's time we stand for truth. I believe it's time we take that deliberate stand saying, whatever God does, whatever is the result, I'm going to stand for truth. Remember the little book of Esther? She took a stand and said, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. If I live, I die or die. she, I'm paraphrasing, she made the statement on the basis that she was going in to see the king without an invitation, and she's willing to do so because God has placed her at that in that time, at that place, for that purpose. And I believe many times God places us in a position that we need to stand for truth for the purpose that he has for us, for the elongation of his will and his way to be carried out in the world in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for with homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional landscape lawn care equipment as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, there at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That is the benchmark, and the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the campus, the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing the enemy today on every hand. We're looking at places across America where there's looting that is unchecked. For example, I'm looking at an article that says up to 40 looters target California Bay Area stores for the third straight day. Listen to this article. Another mob of looters targeted several San Francisco Bay Area retailers Sunday night, marking the third such incident in many days. Police told CBS San Francisco that they responded to the multiple calls of smash-and-grab looting incidents at the Southland Mall in Hayward, located south of Oakland and north of San Jose. They told the station that the robbers used hammers to smash cases before running off with jewelry and other jewelry stores involved. Quote, I would say at least 30 to 40 people from what I saw, an unnamed witness told San Francisco CBS local, which was corroborated by other witnesses. But then after the main group of kids rushed out, we saw 15 or 20 scattering. Some even came back in, end quote. A nearby Macy's store in the mall was also ransacked, witnesses reported. Quote, we saw all other stores closing. They were panicking. So they were panicking and quickly closed our stores and barricaded ourselves in, said another female witness. It was very scary, added another to the news outlet. People with no morals, no sense of other people's property and safety. I feel helpless. It's disturbing, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we find on the left coast and in other cities and counties and states across America, where they made a decision based on Ilhan Omar and AOC and others, and made the decision based on the loose, lax, lost liberals mindset that they're going to defund the police. But ladies and gentlemen, cities like this in California are now screaming for police help. What would you do if you were in a city? What would you do if your store was being burglarized and robbed? What would you do if another Kyle Rittenhouse was out on the street trying to protect and all of a sudden he's caught up in the net and then imprisoned for about 60 days with no proper facilities simply because he was exercising his right of self-defense? What would you do if we had a whole nation that was on the basis that you could not exercise your Second Amendment right because the constitutional liberties had been foreclosed on? We're on the fast track for that. This is the reason I've said, and I continue to say, we need to depend on God and not government. We need to recognize that God is still in control. We need to understand that we're faced today around the world in America with a societal blindness where they've been caught up in the delusion, and that delusion has caused blindness. And also, inextricably linked to that, we're watching the demise of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're watching a great falling away, an apostasy, the falling away from the faith, according to the scripture, that will happen in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment, do a little parenthetical footnote. We're watching all of these things come together because we're watching the fulfillment of scripture before our eyes. We're watching God's word being fulfilled, where it talks about in the last days we'll find lawlessness. In the last days we'll find a world that is filled with pharmakeia, that is drugs. That's in Revelation chapter 22, chapter 18, verse 23. I believe we'll find that to be a fact, that we're finding more and more states that are authorizing and approving legislation that allows pot use, marijuana, and other hard drugs, as on the West Coast in California, Oregon, and Washington states allowing today. But also we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, the very society in which we are living in being undermined and destroyed. Remember, Psalms 11, 11 verse 3 says, "What can if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about our foundations. I'm concerned with the ultimate fast track of the collapse of the foundations of the United States of America. Because if we lose our Bill of Rights, if we lose our right of religious freedom and freedom of speech, if we lose our right to keep and bear arms with our right of self-defense, we will lose the right of evangelism, outreach, and witnessing to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other nations, ladies and gentlemen, they do not have the Bill of Rights as we have. They do not have the constitutional liberties as we have. It is illegal to try to go out and reach another person for a under a different faith. In Islamic nations, ladies and gentlemen, it is an offense that can bring about the beheading of the individual if you go out and try to witness to someone and win them to faith to Jesus Christ. May I remind us, we're on the fast track for that. It's the reason I emphasize the fact that our hope is in God and not in government. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes right directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comments, and your insight on the subject and the conversation we're talking about today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, in nations around the world, there's a push for lockdowns, In fact, ladies and gentlemen, because of the newfound Omicron version of the COVID-19, looking at an article that says, "Omicron symptoms mild so far," says South African doctor who spotted it. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, of what we're faced with in America today that brings about upheaval, brings about doubt and calamity and confusion and chaos and concern in our nation and nations around the globe. This article says, the South African doctor who first spotted the new COVID variant Omicron says the patients seen so far have had, quote, and I'm quoting the doctor now, extremely mild symptoms. And that is the case, ladies and gentlemen. But I want us to understand that around the world now, there is a hair on fire, screaming and pushing, because there is the cry from the leadership in America, from the White House down, that we need to lock down again. We need to have greater push for the COVID vaccination. In fact, in New York, they've already started the lockdown process. New York, they've already started the scream and cry with the hair on fire that calamity is coming, calamity is coming. In fact, Biden has just restricted flights, all flights out of Africa coming to any airport in America. He has locked everything down, and there's a push now to lock down the homes, the families, the schools, and hospitals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, simply because of the scare, the fright of the Omicron symptoms. You listen to some of the Communist Network news on that, and it would sound like the world's coming to an end because of the Omicron variant, and they make it sound as though it is already dire and deadly, when, ladies and gentlemen, even the physician that discovered it said it is extremely, and her words, not mine, emphasized extremely mild symptoms. In fact, the article goes further to state that the symptoms are much milder, much less harmful than those of the original COVID-19 virus itself. So we find those that want to get the fright going, that want to continue to churn up, gin up frightening information that will cause Americans to depend on government. Americans that hear that will say, well, we need to go get another jab. In fact, Dr. Fauci, on a recent interview, literally laughed at anybody that would counter what he says, anybody that would challenge what he says. He said, I'm the scientist. He made himself look like in a pious position of being the first, foremost, and final authority on anything that's said and done in America in relationship to health care. It is Anthony Fauci, I call him St. Anthony Fauci, that is the one that seems to be the go-to person for so many around the world. In fact, some of the world leaders are now talking about the fact that He is a dangerous man and should not be listened to, followed, or adhered to because of that. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth is we find the fear factor being used, the fear factor being used on a global basis to force citizens to depend on government and not God. I want to ask you the question, ladies and gentlemen, I'd love to hear from you. Do you believe that you have the responsibility to adhere to bow and bend at the whims and the wishes of the Biden administration and what they're attempting to do in the totalitarian form of governance they want to force on all Americans? Is it your responsibility? Is it my responsibility? Now, listen, I'm not talking about anarchy. I'm not suggesting that rise up with arms and get out on the street and dare any political leader to force us to. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not the intent of these comments and this statement. But I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, that it's time that we recognize that especially as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, that we're dependent on God and not on government. It is God that is sovereign. It is God that created the world. It is God that holds the world in his hands, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. When you look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, then you look at Colossians 1, verse 13 through 18, and you find Jesus Christ is God that did the creation. He created everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that's in the heavenlies, everything that's beneath the heaven, everything that's on earth, and everything that's beneath the earth. Jesus Christ himself, as God come into flesh, created it. And by the way, in Colossians 1, verse 17 and 18, Jesus is the sustainer, the controller. I say he is the divine superglue that holds it all together. So I encourage us not to be frightened, fearful, not to be jumping through the little hoops of the Biden administration and his mandate, but to recognize that God's on the throne, that God's the one that's still in control. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we go back to the fact that we have the fear factor that's being promulgated around the globe and across America, and it's to cause one to bow and to bend at the government and the government's control over the people. In fact, we have the one that invented the vaccination, mRNA. He says, here's the vaccine inventor warns, the future of global totalitarianism is here. Let me just read you about three brief paragraphs from this large article. Americans should pay close attention to the severe coronavirus-related restrictions on civil liberties in Australia, Canada, and now in Austria, said the inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology, warning the virus increasingly is becoming a platform, hear me, a platform for advancing other agendas, end quote. Further, this article says the future of global totalitarianism is here. It's just not evenly distributed, said Dr. Robert Malone, an immunologist and virologist who researched the use of the messenger RNA in vaccines at the Salk Institute in 1980. Further, it says the European nation and others, Malone said, are using the Professor Mattis Desmet, D-E-S-M-E-T, and others at the University of Belgium, and it is mass formation psychosis. In other words, using the herd mentality of getting everybody all whipped up and in a frenzy of fear and psychosis, as a result of that then being willing to follow what the government says rather than being dependent upon God. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
You mentioned Dr. Science, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci. You can't question him. You know, you can't bring any personal scrutiny to Dr. Science, because if you question Dr. Science, you're questioning science itself. You know, and you kind of wonder, is that to say that science is not to be questioned? I mean, the very nature of science is constantly inquiring, constantly exploring, constantly scrutinizing, constantly testing. And if Dr. Science,
somebody said that was Dr. Frankenstein, is that right?
It sure does seem that way. Of course, I mean, he helped build this monster, and when he was put on the spot by this news reporter, and she says, you know, Ted Cruz says that you need to be indicted, he laughed, and then he said something about ask him what happened on January 6th. I've got a question. Folks, what does one have to do with the other? What does his Dr. Anthony Fauci and his organization, NIAID, and its funding through EcoHealth Alliance, using the conduit of EcoHealth Alliance to send money to the Wuhan laboratory that I believe developed this. I mean, all the evidence is stacked up. Matter of fact, Glenn Beck did like a two-hour expose showing all the emails that have been exposed because of Freedom of Information Act request. By the way, your Facebook dropped him midstream, dropped Glenn Beck midstream doing that video. I believe Twitter's blocked it now. Google has buried it. It's now in amongst stuff that was years old, you know, so they're trying to make this thing disappear, but go look it up, you know, go hit the Blaze, go hit Glenn Beck, listen to the 2-hour video. It's a lot of the stuff you've already heard. If you've been listening to Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or reading any of my posts on Facebook, you've seen a lot of this stuff. But the dollars connect Dr. Anthony Fauci, a.k.a. Dr. Science, a.k.a. Dr. Frankenstein, you know, it connects him to the origins of this Wuhan flu, of this China virus, of this COVID-19 that's killed 700,000 folks is what they're saying in the United States. Is that worth an inquiry or is it not? I mean, we have Congress now doing a January 6th, you know, insurrection inquiry. Where's the interest in something that cost 700,000 lives and potentially trillions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of jobs and businesses across the United States? Where's the inquiry on that? Where's the interest in that? Dr. Anthony Fauci, he laughs it off and points to January 6th. You know, one person died on January 6th. She was an unarmed veteran shot point blank by a D.C. police officer. Where's the justice? You know, where's the parity? This has gotten insane. And for the man to laugh it off, here he is, the highest paid civil employee in the United States of America, and he laughed it off. I got news for you. He has some questions that need to be answered. We have some questions that he needs to answer. This is ridiculous. And to politicize it, to roll it into the January 6th thing, it shows his political bent. He's not a scientist. He's a political animal is what he is, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, Greg, as you mentioned that, I read an article just this morning, and I do not have it in my hands, so I'll paraphrase it, where Anthony Fauci was being warned that when the change of guard takes place in the House of Representatives and the Republicans in control, they will then want to inquire from him what he's done and why he's done it, and he has to answer for it. I believe, and you correct me or give insight otherwise, I believe that by the time we get to that point, if we get to that point, he will have already retired, be working as chairman of one of the boards of the pharmaceutical houses of Pfizer or J&J or one of the others, and will be sheltered on the basis that he's no longer a federal employee, therefore he cannot be subpoenaed, questioned, or challenged. What are your thoughts about the future tense of that? We've got about a minute and a half before we take our hard break for the top of the hour news.
We've watched it. Government is a revolving door, and they end up rolling right on the boards of directors into executive slots with these major corporations that are on the teat of government. I mean, Pfizer, the director of the FDA in 2019 left the FDA and went over and became a member of the board of directors for Pfizer. And just a few months later, all of a sudden, we've got this crisis, and Pfizer becomes the first one to get the jab approved without 3 to 5 years of testing like is ordinarily done. You go, hold on a second here. Is this just a coinky dink? Well, there are a whole bunch of these coinky dinks, you know. And you just watch the movie. They'll leave out of the FDA, they'll leave out of the Pentagon, they'll leave out of these places and roll right the board of directors for major mega companies pulling in trillions of taxpayer dollars annually.
Greg, we're going to continue this conversation if you're available right after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a 1-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. We're talking about a subject today. Our hope is in God and not in government. We'd love to hear from you right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.